announcing to everyone that Jesus is Lord and Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Dear listener, why do you think you should come to church? What is the purpose of worship? Why are we there? What do we need? And has the church today lost its basic understanding, mission, and mandate? In other words, does the church understand why it exists and what worship is intended to do for people? This is so important today. Oh, I love this section in 1 Corinthians. I think of all the sections that we have gone through in 1 Corinthians in our study on Abounding Grace Radio, I am most excited about this because it gives us real purpose and goal to what we do in the church. Oh, we need that today. Oh, we need that today. And so as we go through this today, I'm hoping that all of you who listen are deeply convicted, as I was, that we need to maintain the design of the ministry when we come together, that God's people would be edified and that their understandings would be opened up. Did you know that God is after your mind? You know that every thought should be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ? Well, I'm getting ahead of myself here. We'll just air the message here in a minute. But first, I want to direct you to our website at agradio.org. Again, that web address, agradio.org. Call us at 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. Download the apps for your iPhone and your Android phone that you can take Abounding Grace Radio with you wherever you go. It's all there for you on the website. So many resources for you to make use of Abounding Grace Radio and grow in your understanding of the Christian gospel. That's our goal here, that you would know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. So thanks for all of your support prayerfully and financially. 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. Here is the program now as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We close out this study, this long section on tongue speaking, and we look at God's love for order in the house. Thanks for tuning into Abounding Grace. May this gospel bless you today as you hear it from 1 Corinthians chapter 14.
I always thought that if I had the opportunity to sit down with the Apostle Paul and ask him all the questions that I wanted to ask, you know, all of the confusion on matters of worship and practice would just go right away, right? We could just get it all solved right then and there if we just brought Paul back for an hour, you know? Get it all answered. Why have there been so many different views, so many different practices on certain things? If we could just sit down and ask Paul about worship, the regular principle of worship, if we could make everything uniform, we could get it all just right down perfect. It would all be black and white for us and we'd have no more problems, right? So I was thinking about this, I realized, well, that's impossible because not even the first century with Paul there got it. This church was just as much of a mess as the churches are in 2015, and Paul was there. Paul's writing to them. Paul's commanding them as an apostle. It was because everyone, as we looked at in this book, seemed to have competing agendas of what they thought the church should be. How do you move forward in situations like that? I mean, really. One person believes this. One person believes that. What is to regulate us? And what if both are biblical convictions? What if in the history of church there have been biblical convictions on certain points, and how do we handle that? Does the tradition itself decide? What do we do? I was interested to learn that for all the ways that we quote Calvin, Knox was being rather obnoxious in his convictions, And Calvin wrote a scathing letter telling him to knock it off. It's fascinating to me that we really should all be after the good of the body. We really should let this principle we've been taught, deny yourself, dominate us. You must follow that rule for the greater good of the body. And I believe Paul's teaching us that tonight. I believe he's given us the intention of the commands. That's where Paul ultimately takes us with the plethora of these problems, this mass of problems that Corinth, the church in Corinth, faced. And tonight we have a great way in which the apostle corrected the problems. He's been working toward this. He said that we should learn to think less of ourselves and our understandings, deny ourselves, and be willing to put the interests of others, even on conviction areas, in lesser matters, even before our own. He taught us that the principle of love should control us and direct our thoughts and actions, and that we should check our motives in that. Here tonight, we're led to the ultimate source of authority in which Paul commands us. It's God's word. It's God's word. That's where that ended, didn't it? After that long run, it ended on saying, if any of you think you're spiritual, if any of you really think you've understood something, then you should acknowledge that the things which I write here are the commandments of the Lord. He hit them hard at the end of this. And that is his great conclusion to the great problem in Corinth. God's word commands us, but why? Why is he commanding us on these particular issues? Are the commands just without reason? In worship, he commands us. This is a section on worship. But the goal of the commandments are provided here. That is so important for us. It's not just to command us. It's not just to bring us into conformity. All of the commands have the goal of the edification of God's people and the glory of his name. If we forget that, we might end up just fighting for commands only because they were commanded and never understand the intention of them. And then we're no better than Pharisees. What's the intention of the commands? If we're truly spiritual people and we understand the intention of the commands, that will then help us in the application of our convictions. We're concluding a study tonight on the tongues issue. And essentially God is saying, my goal for you is that when you come together in worship, here's the great goal. It's for your understandings to be opened up. This is what he's telling us here. Sure, it's the glory of his name, the magnification of Christ, but how will that take place without understandings being opened up? Understandings have to be opened up. And members in the body are given to be of a benefit so that that occurs. Our gifts should be promoting understandings being opened up. And when we're controlled by love, our worship has the goal that we so understand his gospel love to the end that the whole body of Christ would be edified, and that when unbelievers come in, they see that. They want that. If we've learned that, well, we as the EURC have learned the will of God for our place in his kingdom and worship. I hope you see how important this section is tonight. Paul concludes with what I boiled it down, I think, are about two major thoughts here. Here it is. Confusion's not from God. But when we come to worship, things should be orderly with the goal of promoting edification and understanding. Confusion is not from God. And when we come to worship, things should be orderly to promote edification and understanding. In verses 20 through 25, he makes a single great point that confusion's nothing to trifle with. God hates it. It's a sign of displeasure in his part. It's not a blessing. And he essentially raises the issue that the way they were using tongues, the way they were practicing tongues, they hadn't considered in history something that meant that they are tampering with judgment. Everyone look at verse 20. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. Listen, dear brothers, you have become really mature in sin, is what you've done. And in your understanding, you're just a bunch of babies. But it should be reversed. That's his point. Now, remember what he said last time. Tongue speaking had become so abused, confusion was the result. And he said, if you speak in a tongue, remember, a known language without an interpreter, it's like you're speaking gibberish. You're crazy to people. That doesn't profit somebody. That's not the intention of the gift. A tongue has to be, if it's used, interpreted. Think of the purpose of tongues. Paul has already said, it's not a corner thing for you and God. Gift that God gives in tongue speaking, it's a gift. He's already laid the foundation in saying all gifts are not for you, but for the edification of the body. Tongues were needed because the gospel was going out from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. And tongues were needed because the apostles didn't speak all those languages. So the Spirit would come upon them and he would give them a foreign tongue. They'd be able to speak it and it would be used for certain people. Not all may have understood that language. So to make it very clear for everyone, interpreters were needed. But what good is the use of that gift if you are off by yourselves doing that, or if you're speaking something that nobody understands? Paul says, you may be speaking to God, but you're not helping out people. What profit is that? There's no profit in that. That's not what a gift does. It should promote understanding. And therefore, he said last time, prophecy's better. Prophecy's better. Remember, they didn't have the canon at that time. So that gift of prophecy was the clear revealing and explaining in fulfillment of Jesus Christ's work from the Old Testament. And today we have that as we open the Word and exposit the Word of God. That's called preaching. But the point is, it was the clear revealing of truth, the clear making known of truth, so that you say, wow, I get it. I get it. I understand it. Whoa, that's exciting. I never got that before. It's the goal. Paul writes home now, drives home the point on confusion. In verse 21, he says, in the law it's written, by people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners will I speak to this people, and even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Paul does what he does here is loosely cite Isaiah chapter 28. And while that's interesting, I want you to listen to the whole context of that just for a minute. Listen to this. To whom will he teach knowledge? And to whom will he explain the message? Big question. Those who are weaned from milk, those taken from the breast? For it is precept upon precept, a precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For, here it is, by people of strange lips and with a foreign tongue, the Lord will speak to this people to whom he has said, this is the rest, give rest to the weary, and this is the repose, yet they would not hear. And the word of the Lord will be to them precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken, be snared and taken. Whoa, what in the world is that? I'll tell you what it was. Years, God had spoken his word clearly to Israel. They didn't listen. They didn't listen. And God said, listen, if you don't listen, I'm going to send to rise up another nation that's going to come and carry you all away. And he did that. He sent, remember what happened? When the Assyrians came, they came and they hauled off Israel. They hauled them away and they spoke to them in a tongue they didn't understand. And that means then that tongues became judgment to them. They didn't understand. The judgment was no understanding. It was cut off. So, what that means is that in history, when tongues of different languages were not understood, Paul says, it's a sign of judgment. You don't want to introduce confusion into the church. That has been evidenced of God's displeasure throughout history. You don't want to tamper with confusion. You don't want to bring in confusion. All confusion that the church in Corinth was diffusing was a bad sign of God's disfavor, and God's now showing favor by putting a stop to it. I can't emphasize that point enough. Do we think in these terms that one of the greatest blessings of the ministry is when people are excited about understanding the scriptures, that that's a sign of God's favor? I'll never forget reading years ago R.L. Dabney's little book called Evangelical Eloquence. I think it was earlier titled Sacred Rhetoric. And what stood out in that little book was something that he said, and I always took it with me in the ministry. He said, don't worry about doing something other than what the text that is in front of you. In other words, you preach that text that is in front of you. Pastors come to texts and then they get nervous that this text is too hard, and so they have to filler. They use filler. They preach everything else other than the text. That's the great sin of our day. We don't preach the text. And Dabney said, you preach that text because God's put a hunger in his people's hearts for it. You just preach that text. And so that when it is plainly and clearly taught, even if it's ox goring, right? Even if it's the stuff in Leviticus, he has put a hunger in his people's hearts, and they want to understand God's word. They want to know what it means. Don't you enter in confusion by not explaining the text. Man, I just ran with that. I thought, that's it. That's it. That's how the congregation grows. That's how a congregation lives. That's the bread God gives. It's a sad state of affairs when the message is not understood. When it's not clear, when it's not plain, when it's not hitting the heart, and people remain in darkness and they don't grow. That is terrible. I was reading an article last week that maybe Christianity in America is dying because it's boring everyone to death. Not what you think, though. The convenience, he says, the easy atmosphere, the no content, the borrowing of all the world's methods, the effeminate pastor with his stories. The author said, I turned around as I sat in a worship service and I looked around and no one was even listening. No one was absorbing. Nobody was taking in. Makes sense. No engagement with God's word. Everything's lost. We have nothing else to offer. God's after your minds. Did you know that? He wants your minds. And he wants to grow the minds. And confusion is a sign of judgment. That's his point with tongues. Why do tongues exist? Well, if you understand why tongues exist, verse 22, tongues are for a sign. A sign for what? Well, he says, why they ever existed, they're a sign. Not for you. Get that? Not for you again. They were designed to be a benefit to who? Those who've never heard. Prophesying is for you. It's for your edification, which is God's goal for you. But tongues was for a people to hear the gospel for the first time in their own language. But then they would move on to the prophecy. So Paul presents the scenario here, and this is what I love this about this text. This is one of my favorite sermons in 1 Corinthians. I mean that, of all the sermons. I want you all to look carefully at what he says here. Verse 23. You all have gathered. Let's imagine this scenario, says Paul. And you all simultaneously start speaking in tongues. And lo and behold, an unbeliever walks in. What do you think he's going to say? You guys are a bunch of crazies. But if you all prophesy, and someone without understanding comes in, or an unbeliever comes in, the goal of that conviction is about the truth, isn't it? That he understands the truth. Then what might happen? He might get convicted. And here's the great fruit. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare, God is really among you. That is a wonderful verse. Talk about the means being the mission. Talk about the means of grace as the mission of the church. Don't you love it? Notice how the apostle just prioritized the ministry. He's so balanced. He never lost sight of the goal. Why are we doing this? Well, he's presented to us two real goals here. Number one is the edification of the body, isn't it? And the second one is a witness to those who don't believe. Don't forget that. I can't help but see here that the church in Corinth was so inwardly focused. It was so all about them, all about their divisions, their fightings, their discord, their sectarian behavior. They lost the entire goal of what they were doing. The entire purpose of Christian ministry was what? To edify and to reach. Notice how this burdened Paul. Paul said earlier, I've become all things to all men. Why? That I might win the more. I have a goal with my life. I'm about winning people. I want people to come in. Oh, they may not understand much. Some won't even believe. But I want them to come. Do you want that? Does it show? And you see, if they do something in their practices, not the core of what we confess, would you be willing to come alongside them? Maybe deny yourself, maybe even your own conscience, to help them. Would we care about that? I remember when I was in seminary, I needed Hywel Jones. Let me tell you why I needed Hywel Jones. Hywel Jones, one day in class, he was so good at restraining students in a very wise way. Students need to be restrained. I was one who needed to be restrained. We become so idealistic. And we idolize men. And we get in a tower. And we bash everyone who's not reformed. We were good at that. I remember Hywel Jones saying, don't be too hard on all those evangelicals. Don't be too hard on all those other churchgoers who aren't reformed, who don't understand much. We've all been there. That seems so simple, but it always stuck with me. We all were there. If you fight them, if you treat them like that and we're jerks to them, how do you think you're going to win them? That's what Paul would say. I know Paul would say that because he just said it right there. I needed to hear that. Paul gives two categories of people. Did you catch it? The unbeliever and the uninformed. Do we get a lot of sheer unbelievers walking in? It's a post-Christian culture. Most people who walk in today, they've had some contact with Christianity. Most who walk into the Escondido URC are going to say they believe. What category then would they fall under? The uninformed. Those who have little knowledge. Those today who we typically separate from. The uninformed need it just as much. Did you know that? The uninformed need it as much as the unbelievers. And yet I fear we have nothing to do with the uninformed because they're not as informed as us. That is Paul's spirit here. That is Paul's drive here. We have to be patient with them. Paul wanted them to come, and members would care not so much about just their correctness, but about helping them to understand. It's work. It's effort. It takes time. You have to invest your life with people. And today, it's not done over the internet. It's done face to face. You got to build that. And here the design of the ministry is so clear. Paul's intention, Paul's direct, Paul's effective. Paul is promoting understanding that these people, when they walk in, would see what? Great love for one another. But here's what I love. Here's how they're one. Here's how they're one. When they see love, yes. When they see sacrifice, yes. But did you notice what he said? When they sit there, and the message is so clear and so penetrating, and it got to the heart, they say, God got into my heart.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.